stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We do have an outline if you would like to follow along. If anyone did not receive an outline, just put your hand up. Make sure that you receive one. If you want to follow along, we'll be using the PowerPoint this morning. Psalm 32, beginning at verse 1, and the title of our message this morning is, "There is no place like this place." Psalm 32, beginning at verse 1. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not recover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Before you're seated, turn to somebody next to you, look them in the eye, tell them they look absolutely fabulous this morning. Will you do that? Thank you. There was a church plant that started in a school. And Aunt Mary, she sits in that same seat every Sunday, so I'm going to move back a row. But Aunt Mary came and she sat in the third row from the front, right at the end. What happened in this church is that the church began to grow. And so Aunt Mary came to church one Sunday morning to sit in her seat that she felt belonged to her. But there was somebody new, somebody that was visiting, sitting in her seat. She looked at the individual and she said, "This is my seat." He said, "I kind of like this seat." They had a little discussion for a minute or so. And in frustration, she walked out. And what happened that day, she not only lost her spot, but she also lost her place. If we are going to change the atmosphere, there are times that we're going to lose our spot, but we must keep our place. And what I want to tell you today is there is no place like your place. That God has called you to a place of relationship with Him that will allow you to be able to go through the challenges of life and still stay in alignment and still walk in the Spirit and still be a person of influence. And what tends to happen in life is that the enemy will use people, sometimes those who are closer to us, who will speak words of discouragement. The Bible says that there is power of life and death in the tongue. And sometimes words are spoken by a father. Excuse me, they are spoken by a mother. They are spoken by a close friend. They might even be spoken by a pastor. And when those words are spoken, they can influence us for the rest of our life. And so we sometimes find ourselves not being able to reach our full potential or not being able to reach the promised land that God has established for us. So what I want us to look at today is how God sees you and how God will speak over you. I want you to begin to break the chains of words that maybe have confined you. I want to see you break chains this morning of what might have kept you or is keeping you now. And it's just like a fence that's fenced you in, and God wants to break that and set you free as you begin to hear the voice of God in who you really are. So let's look together at what the scripture says. And the first thing that God wants to say to us today is that you and I are adequate people. So I want to speak over you. This really works when you turn it on. You are an adequate person. I love what the Bible says. And just let that go into your spirit. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I want you to dismiss any word that's spoken to you that is negative. Excuse me, any word that is spoken to you that will hold you back. Because there's a God this morning who wants to take you and draw you in. He wants to speak over you this morning that you are an adequate person. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The second thing that God says to us is that you are unique and special. The Bible declares in 1 Peter, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Folks, this is not just about having salvation. This is not just being redeemed, and we are so thankful for that, and we celebrate that in communion this morning. But I'm here to declare to you that when you give your life to Christ, that is just the beginning. He will walk with you. He will talk with you. He will direct you. He will take you by the hand. He will establish you. God says to you that you are unique and special. Listen, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You need to know today, no matter what has spoken over you, and remember, Satan comes to kill, rob, and destroy. I want to come against that this morning. I want to declare to you, you are a chosen person. God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. I can't really comprehend that. But the doctrine of election says he has chosen you. And if he has chosen you, then he's going to walk with you each and every day. The Bible declares you are an adequate person. You are unique and special. Thirdly, the Bible declares that my life has a purpose. And so when we consider his promises, it says, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When we find ourselves looking at the project last Saturday, going out to the property for the first time to see 150, 200 people working together, and what we have to understand and recognize today, we are on the precipice of something great. But it's going to take all of us to get involved. It's going to take all of us to step up. It takes all of us to put the harness on and begin to see what God has for us. And our life has a purpose. Sometimes we find ourselves confined. We find ourselves curtailed because we're believing a lie. And what I want you to do this morning, I want you to hear the truth. You are unique and special, and your life has a purpose. God has a design for you. Thirdly, as a person, I am successful. I love what the scripture says. It makes this declaration. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. The person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I just believe there's an anointing on the people of God, and you need to understand, you are a child of Abraham, and the Abrahamic blessing, listen church, it flows down. This is not just some happenstance or something we hope that happens. This is the word of God that says you as an individual are under the blessing of God. We need to get under it. We need to embrace it. We need to walk in it. God says, I will make you successful as you put me first. So God calls us to a place of blessing. We need to shut out the words that have been spoken over to us. We need to shut out the emptiness and void of maybe words that were never spoken, words of affirmation, words of encouragement that we never had. I'm telling you, when you get in the presence of God every day, if you will allow yourself to be established in His presence every day, you're going to begin to see, to feel and sense something begins to happen day after day after day. God will change you because He is the Father of our spirit. He wants to reparent us. He wants to take us out of the doldrums and out of the apathy. And He wants to put a fire in our belly. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. God wants to anoint you and God wants to bless you. There's a place that He wants us to find. And there's no place like this place. There's no place that is greater than me knowing Him and walking with Him and understanding His call upon my life. Number five. The Bible declares, I am strong and I am able. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, what happens is we find ourselves just kind of in this learned behavior, this pattern of same old. And God says, I want to take you out of that, and I want you to have a journey with me that is like none other. But you're going to have to deal with fear. You're going to have to go where you've never gone before. And that's where the excitement is. That's where the fun is. That's where we find ourselves pushing through and knowing God. This is where we understand what God has called us to. Take your Bibles with me and turn over, please, to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6. I want to show you something. This is not in your notes. This is something that God showed me as I was praying and studying. And I believe what I'm about to share with you is for someone specific. I believe this is a specific word for someone in this service. I didn't share this in the first service. I'm going to share it today. So I'm going to take an extra 4 minutes. And I'm going to give you a sermon in a sermon. I don't think I've ever done this before. Can you give me an extra 4 minutes? You are so kind. Thank you very much. Nehemiah 6, I want to show you something, and I want to speak this over this house, and there's someone that this is for. Nehemiah built a wall. There's some people trying to build a wall today, but we won't talk about that. Nehemiah built a wall. And when it was almost finished, this is what happened. Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of the enemies heard that I had built the wall, that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet together at Hakephirim in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me 4 times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. And in the same way Sanballat for the 5th time sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand, and in it was written, it is reported among the nations. And Geshem also says it that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall, and according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah, and now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such things as you have been done for you are in, you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted, watch, they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Here's what I want to say to you in 4 minutes. When you choose to serve God wholeheartedly, there will always be a Sanballat and Tobiah that will want to discourage you and give you reasons not to proceed. We drove out to the property and we were watching them on Friday pour the cement. And it was so exciting to see that beginning and that foundation. This is what I want to say to you. I believe that there is a vision and destiny over this house. Just be on guard, because there's always going to be a Sanballat and Tobiah, whether it's a personal vision or a corporate vision, that want to discourage you and get you to come down off your wall. And what I want to say to you is that God speaks over you that you can step into your plan, and you can step into your purpose, and you can step into your destiny. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the enemy comes in like a flood, my God will raise up a standard against him. I want to give you very briefly just some bullet points for what to watch for. What I want you to see in verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet at Hakaphirim in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. People who live in their soul and want to discourage you will come with a hidden agenda. They're going to say one thing, but they want to discourage you. Number two, verse 3, and I sent messengers to say, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop? Will I leave it and come down to you? Number two, make sure when the enemy comes, you tell him that you're too busy doing the kingdom of God. Come on, church. When the enemy comes and says, "I come over here and do this," you just need, when the enemy says you don't have time to pray, I want you to know if you'll stay committed to your prayer closet, then you're praying for unsaved loved ones. You keep standing on the edge of the property, because someday the prodigal is going to come home, and you just need to keep believing. The enemy will tell you you should not be doing this, and you let him know, I'm too busy doing the kingdom of the Lord. Verse 4. I want you to notice they sent for me 4 times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. I want you to have one answer for the enemy, and no matter how many times he comes, you give him the same answer. You say, I'm here. I'm going to do the work of God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You need to persevere. You need to build your wall. You need to stand upon the word of God. You need to know that God has called you, and that he has a plan and purpose for your life. Verse 5, it says here, and in the same way Sanballat for the 5th time sent a servant to me with an open letter in his hand. You see, when they're done speaking words, then they bring a letter. You see, they want to bring fear. So they bring a letter. Now this letter, it's a little different than words. It's kind of a legal document. Well, I want you to know that the accuser of the brethren can come with his words and his letters. But I am redeemed. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I know that no matter what he does or what he says, I'm going to finish the wall. I'm going to stand and do what God has called me to do. Verse number 6. And in it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That's why you're building the wall, and according to these reports, you wish to become their king. see what the enemy does after he's done his words and after he brings his letter? Then he brings lies. Oh, you just want to be king. We know what you want to do. And so this stuff, gossip, slander, yada, yada, yada. You just make sure you stay true to the vision. Verse 7. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. Now the king will hear these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together. So the whole purpose of Sanballat and Tobias to get him to come off the wall, come over here, and let's do counsel or else we'll tell the king. You know, it's when you were a little child. If you don't put that cookie back, I'm going to go and tell mom. You see, all kinds of things that the enemy will do. What we need to do as the people of God is to get hungry and get thirsty for God, that no matter what happens, we are not going to find ourselves listening to lies. And so, verse 8, I love this. Then I sent him saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. Tell that to the enemy. You're a fool, Satan. You're telling me these things and they don't even exist. We keep our heart pure before God. And then finally, I love this. This is a whole sermon. I'm going to preach this sometime, somewhere. Look at verse 9. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from their work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. The enemy wants my hands to drop and come down on. I'm telling it's green, yes. So God wants you to know that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so today I want you to know who you are. I want you to understand there's always going to be a Sanballat and Tobiah that wants to bring you off and pull you away from your vision and what God has called you to. So let me just briefly help you fill in your spaces. I won't take a lot of time, but I wanted to share that thought. I know somebody's going to let me know who that's for. I trust it blesses you. Here it is. You can be in your place no matter what place you're in, which is contentment. Folks, if you're going to change the atmosphere, you've got to understand the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You say, God has put me in this place, and I'm just going to stay here and let God use me. And so it says in verse 7, it says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. And so when I give my heart totally to him, I can understand that there's a contentment that I can have. Number two, if they change your place, you're still in your place. Verse 10 says, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. And so we can look at what the scripture says. Many are the woes in Psalm 32 and verse 10 of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust him. So when they begin to change the circumstance and you stay in your place, you know you're surrounded by the love of God. Great example of this is when we study scripture, the three Hebrew boys. And so here, I want you to see this. The king changed their names, but they never lost their place. The enemy's going to come and try and discourage you, but I want you to keep your place in him. That's how we're going to touch this community. That's how we're going to change marriages. That's how we're going to be able to raise a family to love and to serve God. They can change your place, but you're still in your place. There's a stability. We look at Daniel. They came along. They changed the rules. They changed the situation. And what happened? Daniel kept his place. Here's the key. Watch this. He opened the windows 3 times a day and he prayed. Do you want to keep your place? Allow that intimacy with God to be every day. I want to challenge you and encourage you that as you are in that devotional rhythm every day, God hears you, he sees you, and he will answer prayer. It may not happen on Monday, it may not happen on Tuesday, but I guarantee you what you sow, you will also reap. Where are the children of God? Who am I preaching to this morning? Where you say, God, if I just stay with it, if I just keep praying, if I keep believing, if I keep praying for my unsaved loved ones, they will come home because I'm going to keep that place in you. No matter what happens, Daniel found himself opening the windows 3 times a day. He knew that it was going to cost. Listen, it's going to cost you something to serve him wholeheartedly. But God says, I have a plan for you. I have bought you. I have purchased you. And if you will trust me, I'll bring you through. I'll bring you through to the other side. Just don't lose your place in me. And if you stay steady, I'll see you through. God says, here it is. I want you to have contentment. I want you to have stability. And so when they put him in the lion's den, oh, here's a test. You talk about changing your place. When they put him in the lion's den, God shut the mouths of the lion. Daniel never wavered. He never lost his place. Great example. 3 Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. As the men brought them to the mouth of the furnace, they were killed because of the heat. And they put them in, and when the king looked in, what did he see? There was a 4th man in the fire. Can I just speak to you today? No matter what's happened in the past, no matter what kind of deficits you walked in as a child, I'm here to tell you there's a heavenly Father that loves you. He cares for you. And the Bible says when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send a paraclete. He's going to be the one that walks beside you. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm here to declare that the heavenly Father wants to take you by the hand. He wants to draw you to himself. He wants to be with you in the mountaintop. He wants to be with you in the valley. He wants to see you through every situation. Whatever happens when they try to change your spot, don't lose your place, because there's no place like your place where you are right now. Don't look and think that the grass is always greener on the other side. My wife suggested that I needed to say, just water the grass that God's given you. I think that's a really good comment. God wants to bring you contentment. He wants to bring you stability. There is that 4th man that was with him. We're going to bring this home because you got 2 sermons in one this morning. Number 3, when they take your spot, they can't take your place. That's maturity. If you're going to change the atmosphere, we need to learn contentment, we need to learn stability, and we need to have maturity. Psalm 32 in verse 6, it says, "Therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them." You may be in a situation where you say, "I just feel the waters up to my feet. It's up to my knees. It's up to my waist." But I want you to know, just keep your hand in the hand of the Father. He will cause the waters to recede. If you want to change your situation, if you want to change your harvest, start to sow different seed. Come on, that was worth coming to church for. Just change your seed. If you want the righteous blessing of God, then choose righteousness, making right choices every single day. You see, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But when you're in right standing with God, the accusations fall to the ground because you're right before him. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But I'm saying you just need to stop looking for another place, another change, something else to be different. Change your heart and allow God to bring about that place that you need with him. So the maturity comes. Elijah was chased by Jezebel. He had to run. But then he found himself standing and making a stand for God. And he beat that religious spirit and allowed the glory of God to fall upon the sacrifice. So as we close, number four. When you find your place, there's no better place than your place, which is self-worth. Contentment, stability, maturity, self-worth. And the scripture says in Psalm 32, "I will instruct you and teach you the way that you shall go. I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you." So many people, they want to change their weight, their size, their height. We need to know that God has a plan for your life. Luke 19 is a great story. Here was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short man. And what he found was Jesus was passing by. And so what he did was he ran up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Sometimes you're going to have to overcome an obstacle in order to see Jesus. Watch this as we close. When we consider this man, Zacchaeus, he ran ahead to see him because he said, "Whatever it takes." And the scripture says, when Zacchaeus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so what we can say is, when Jesus reached his spot, Zacchaeus found his place. So when you bring Jesus wholeheartedly into your life, boy, things begin to change. There's a new purpose. There's a new rhythm. You may be old, but you can still have rhythm. You see, too many times as Christians, and I'm trying to close. I love to close. I'm really trying to close. But let me just briefly. So many people come to church. "Well, how are you today?" "Well, it's been kind of a rough week." Now, it's okay if it's been a rough week that week. But every Sunday, it seems to be a rough week. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the glory and the lifter of our head. So we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And we need to start to walk as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Just because somebody
takes your spot. And trust me, it's going to happen. How many know what I'm talking? It's going to happen. Just don't lose your place. And so we're going to really close this time. Final point. When you're in your place, you know your place. Oh, that's so good. And that's humility. If we're going to change the atmosphere, we need to have contentment, stability, maturity, self-worth, and humility. One of the things my wife and I enjoy so much in this church is the spirit of honor. Proverbs says this, and the reason that there isn't a lot of honor in homes and in relationships and in churches is that humility comes before honor. So husbands, when you empty the dishwasher and your wife doesn't ask you to do it, you get a million points. If you're like me, you can use up those points really quickly, so I try to get as many as I can in the bank. Listen, honor comes as we humble ourselves. And so through my journey, there's come that brokenness and that submission and that surrender. I found the place where I need to be. I know whom I have believed. And we need to have that intimacy with Him. Just bow your heads with me if you would. Just ask that nobody would be moving, please, just as we come to this important time. This altar call is going to involve two parts. Number one, I shared the message of Sanballat and Tobiah. Thank you for letting me do that. Where there are those who just try to pull you down from your vision. In a moment, I'm going to ask who that was for. So I want to pray for you specifically this morning. But you say, Pastor, I'm trying to follow my passion, what I feel God's calling me to. And there's just the enemies trying to take me away. All these things that Sanballat and Tobiah did. And I want to have the wisdom to defeat and diffuse those words that come from the vision God's put in my heart. And you would say, Pastor, that word was for me. Can I see your hand? Just put it up. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Bless you. Anyone else? You'd say, yeah. Come with the words, and they come with the letters and all of this discouragement. Secondly, the message about identity, knowing who we are. You'd say, Pastor, the atmosphere that I live in is changing me. I need to reverse that. I need to know who I am. I need to be a person in relationship with God so that I change the atmosphere. And God's spoken to you this morning. Can I see your hand? You just slip it up. Don't be shy. Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, bless you. Hold it up. Yes, bless you. Yes, thank you. Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Anyone else? I know this isn't an easy day to live in, but I believe we can be strong when we know who we are. You may feel small, but if you'll invite God like Zacchaeus did to your spot, He'll change your place. Amen. Anyone else? Bless you. Yes, thank you. Will you stand with me, please? You have been so attentive. Thank you so much. I'm going to invite the altar workers, the elders, if they'll come, please. We're going to worship the Lord for a moment. And we're going to take time to minister around this altar, and then Pastor Tim's going to come and close in prayer.